We'd like to welcome you back to the Tip of the Tower podcast. We gave Richard the week off. I mean, we didn't give Richard the week off. It's just more if he needed the week off.
He big-timed us.
Big-timed us for school. I mean, I wouldn't say that's big-timing us. That more, I think it's punishment for him.
Excuses.
But it's all right. I've got Austin Owens here with me. We'll like to welcome you back. The last time we recorded a Leafs podcast, the Leafs were going to be playing the New Jersey Devils. Austin Matthews had not made his return to the lineup yet, but he did make his return to the lineup on Saturday against the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, he did.
And he did in a big way. I mean, more of... More of in the third period, he was back in a big way, and I got to see that firsthand. We'll get to that later on. What I wanted to bring up, the last two games, gone a little concerning for me, Austin. And the reason why it's concerning to me is not because they lost. I mean, losing is not – I mean, you're not going to win every game.
Losing's not ideal, but
– is not ideal, but – they've only scored a combined 2 goals in regulation the last 2 games. That is not the Leafs offense we are used to seeing. Maybe it's good to know that they're tightening up defensively, and you know that could be a part of the reason why the offense is not hitting on all cylinders. Maybe that focus on playing defense is taken away from the offense. But
yeah,
is this something to be concerned about?
I wouldn't be too concerned about it, honestly. You know, I think looking at it, the last two games haven't been what the Leafs wanted, but we were talking about this before the recording, I mean, or before we started recording, that they had a whole heap of shots. It was over 40, right?
Yeah, on Luongo. It's not including, well, and there was the overtime period where, I mean, they should have, that should have been a penalty on.
Yeah. A good percentage of the time, I mean, you take 40 to 50 shots, you're going to win a lot of hockey games, especially with the chance the Leafs had. I said on Twitter, Luongo was the story of that game. I mean, he's been playing well as of late. And, I mean, when you got a hot goalie, you have a chance of winning any game. And he stole one for the Panthers. I think the Leafs had a lot of really good chances. Marner had 2 really good tips that Luongo just got a pad to, and Hyman also had a really good chance in front late in the game where he tried to stuff in a rebound and got buried for it, and Luongo made a good pad save on the rebound. So, I mean, the chances were there. I think the Leafs, the bigger story for the Leafs is honestly, and I hate the phrase, starting on time. It's been used pretty much every game the Leafs have been in so far. They don't start well, and then they start to pick it up in the second and third. I thought they had a great third period, and Florida was lucky to get it to overtime, quite frankly, because they looked like the Leafs in the first when they played in the third. They just weren't there. So in the end, they got the 2 points, but the Leafs did deserve that point after their effort in the third, I think.
Yeah, I mean, considering how they didn't play well against the Arizona Coyotes. Like, the Coyotes deserved to win that game. That Florida game kind of bothers me for a couple of reasons. Is one, that Kadri play at the end of the game, you know, near the where he was cross-checked
so
twice.
So incredibly stupid.
But you know, you listen to what the other, you know, other people saying on Twitter is they're putting it on Kadri. Like, you know, the onus should have been on Kadri to realize the situation and not retaliate. He was very lucky on Saturday against Montreal that, you know, Weber and Jordy Benn decided to double team him after that, after he tried to go, you know, and he said he was seeing red and he tried to, basically he tried to retaliate. But this time he tried to retaliate late in the game and he got the penalty for it, and it was deserved. But I can understand why people are, you know, he was unhappy about being cross-checked from behind twice. But it's not your job to take it into your own hands to show your displeasure of it.
Yeah. So, and, I mean, he got buried. I would say the Ekblad one was way worse than, was it Matheson hit him the second time? Ekblad caught him right in the middle of the ice, I mean, in the slot, and just buried him from behind. But I mean, I understand, as you said, why Kadri is upset, but at the same time, you have to understand the situation you're in and how much time is on the clock. I mean, Kadri gave, I mean, you look at the situation, it's a power play going into overtime, which means you're already 4-on-3. The refs aren't going to give a team away as well. Just mind you that the Leafs aren't at home here. So they're not going to give the Leafs a 5-on-3 in overtime because you have to give them the two extra guys that they're because you can't go 4-on-2 or anything like that, obviously. So they're not going to do that. So regardless of what Kadri does, he would have had to be murdered in order to get another penalty there. And again, that was a hard hit, a couple hard cross checks, but they're not going to give him the benefit, especially because it's Kadri. I mean, it's probably a different story if it's Auston Matthews or Marner or JVR getting buried, but Kadri's got that reputation where he's not getting the benefit of the doubt because he's been a diver and been sort of a controversial figure over his career. So, I mean,
I think that's where I was gonna say is, I was gonna ask you, do you think his reputation as he's been fined for diving before, so you know it's well documented that the league has the book. No, there's a book out on him. There's a book out on other guys. He's not the only one. PK Subban's another guy that's been vilified in the past. Yeah, I mean, I think you build a reputation as a guy who not only is trying to sell calls because that's his specialty, but also a guy that will not shy away from showing his displeasure if something is not called his way.
And the refs weren't the only people that were angry at Kadri. Let's make that clear. He hit the penalty box official in the face with a stick when he was throwing his little temper tantrum.
I wonder if he gets fined for that. I don't think many are talking about it. I know it
No,
was an accident, but
it's inadvertent. I mean, he goes to slash the front end of the door, and the butt end of a stick comes up on an official. I mean, there's no way. If he meant to do it, I understand. That's fine and
Well,
please.
he's never he well he wouldn't mean to do it, but I mean, he's very lucky that official didn't get hurt because if he did, I think that's a
Oh
fine.
yeah, that's a problem.
Because he has someone has to go to him and tell him to cool it.
Well, yeah, inadvertent or not, it's still not right
No.
to hit the official. I mean, what you got to rein it in. I mean, I understand it's a game in November. You can't really get this worked up. I mean, the Leafs were on a penalty kill in overtime for just under a minute. And that could have been the game right there. They
Yep.
had their chances, but I mean the Lions. Sorry, I'm watching the football game.
We have the football game on. There's a football game on today,
Happy
and
Thanksgiving, by the way, to anybody listening in America, if anybody is listening.
We do get people in the States that listen, so.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, so Kadri is I mean, it's just a bad situation, and he's lucky that they didn't score on him, so
Yeah.
on that penalty.
Okay, because that probably would have been the story of the game was that if Florida found a way to score, that would have been the story of the game. My another thing I wanted to bring up was the fact that I looked at the Leafs games this season. One thing I was looking for was how many penalty minutes are they taking a game? I don't actually know the exact average of penalties that are being called against them, but they have not had a game where they have not taken a penalty. They've had a couple games where they've only taken one. There's been three times. Three times they have taken two penalties in a game, but never have they taken like zero penalties. And I think that's not a huge issue because the penalty killing has done its job for the most part. But they've also worn down, I think they're going to start wearing down Zaitsev and Hainsey on the back end. But I think they need to take an approach where they have to limit these penalties that they're taking. Because it's gonna get to a point where I know the new NHL rules with the penalties makes it harder, but there's been times where they've been guilty of, you know, either they're getting caught and they've had to take a hooking penalty. There's been some interference calls. I mean, that one, I think the big example of that was against the Coyotes. They took four minor penalties, and two of them ended up in the back of the net.
I'm trying to remember. I'm remembering one penalty from last night, other than the Kadri one. And one more thing about Kadri. I mean, the Leafs don't get to overtime if he doesn't score, though. So let's...
Yeah, that's another... That was going to bring that up, too, was... well, I'll bring it up later about Kadri.
He scored the goal, and
he did score the goal.
Let's give Kadri the benefit of the doubt. I mean, sometimes you're the hero, sometimes you're the goat. I mean, Kadri wasn't the goat, obviously, so it wouldn't matter. You want to see a goat? Look at Victor Arvidsson last night. I was watching the Nashville game.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw any of it, but Victor Arvidsson missed an empty net in the zone.
I caught the end of that.
50 seconds left in the game, and then Montreal came back and scored. Nashville ended up winning it in a shootout, but man, he looked absolutely mortified that he missed that. Like, even when he was going to celebrate after the win, he was just like, he was beating himself up. Anyway,
yeah.
Zaitsev's hooking call last night against Bukestad looked like a nothing call. I mean, it's a very soft penalty call, in my opinion, but I mean. Stick infractions are so ticky tack nowadays.
They're hoping that if they call these enough, it's going to change the mentality of these players to not do those plays.
It's not.
They're just trying to take the literal sense of what's a hooking call, what's a slashing call. You know, I mean, tripping calls are, you know, it's very easy to know what's a trip.
Yeah. I mean, does Zaitsev get a piece of Bukestad there? Yes, but is it enough?
Infringing his ability to play the puck or do whatever he needs to do.
That's to the ref's discretion. I mean,
yes,
it's from one person to another. The definition of a hook is different. So I mean, it to each his own. It's maybe if it's a different ref, it's a different call. But it's in hindsight, you can't really make that decision or say that's different.
Well, I mean. It's something, again, that the Leafs are going to have to... I mean, this is also supposed to try to increase scoring in the league with more power play chances, but you kind of hope that teams and you know, teams will try to score more at even strength than trying to rely on the power play to score. That's my hope. That's my issue with the whole trying to buckle down on these penalty calls, because... I'm not sold on it improving the quality of the game. I think many people have shared their displeasure of how it's made a little bit, it's unwatchable at times. I think that's easy.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a couple of these and it's like, both of us got to go cover a preseason game for the Leafs, and there was... The face-off violation rule was in full effect, and the new slashing rules. I think in that game, Martin Marincin took two slashing calls that were pretty soft, and Borgman, I think, had one as well. So it's just, we've seen it firsthand, the slashing calls can be a little problematic. But, I mean, some of these in the game last night, like Vince Trocheck against Zach Hyman, that was pretty clear interference. The Jamie McGinn holding call on Kadri, I do remember vaguely, and it was, I mean, he held him up enough, but it's, again, to the ref's discretion, whether or not you call it. And then, I mean, it's fun to watch the game when you have good power plays, like the Leafs, it's fun to watch them on the power play because they have so many skilled players, but
yeah.
The Leafs weren't firing last night on the power play. Their power play looked terrible the first two power plays looked...
Their
awful,
power play has
for two chances.
Their power play has really struggled the last how many games, because it was on point to start the season, and then it's kind of
the problem with the power play now is Matthews and Nylander were running the show on the power play last year because they had that cross seam pass to Nylander for a one timer or to Matthews for the quick shot in the face-off circles, and they have such great shots that it didn't even matter. But now teams are clogging up the slot in order to cut that crossing pass out. So now they need to go up to Jake Gardner And Jake Gardner just fires random shots, random slap shots on net on the power play that hit a shin pad and get cleared. And then the thing that surprised me about that power play, the late power play they called against McGinn, I believe it was yesterday, was they put out the second unit to start. And the second unit is not good.
I don't know how to put it in a way that's nice.
Their entire power play runs through Mitch Marner, and the only play they really have is that half slapper that Marner has into the slot for Van Riemsdyk, who tips it in. There's no real other play for that penalty or for that power play.
Yeah, I mean, other than JVR in the front of the net and Marner, the power play is definitely it's weird because we talk about the power play struggles, yet they are 10th in the league at 21.9%. So let's say 22%.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they're still doing very well, but I mean, it's the second unit's extremely predictable.
Yep. And
Matthews and Nylander, I mean, they're not scoring at a clip they were last year on the extra man, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to score at the rate that, let's say, a team like Tampa Bay. Like, Tampa Bay leads the league at 27.2%.
Tampa Bay is just silly.
Well, because I think I've watched Tampa play a bit more, and one thing they do really well is they move the puck really fast and efficiently.
Yep.
I think the more because I think that's one issue with the Leafs at times is they get caught trying to wait too long, or they don't keep the puck moving around. I mean, and this is actually brings me to kind of where I'm going to bring the Toronto Raptors into this for a second, but how they've kind of gone out of their have improved is moving the ball, quicker and more efficiently. So I think that's where the Leafs could stand to be a bit better in trying to move the puck quicker.
And you know what Tampa Bay is really good at as well is they have two guys on either side of the ice that'll one-time the puck.
Yep.
Regardless of where the pass is, they'll just put it on net. The Leafs really don't have that. Nylander does not one-time the puck. Matthews likes to bring it in and snap it. Marner doesn't even shoot the puck most of the time, and when he does, he usually scores, but it's very rarely. JVR stands in front of the net. Bozak is – does he take wrist shots?
I don't even know what to call it.
He whiffs on a lot of shots. I don't know if he takes wrist shots. Anyhow, good. I feel like not every power play obviously has that trigger man that can just let it go. There's a very finite amount of teams that actually do have that. But, I mean, a lot of guys on the Leafs are just corralling the puck, holding it, and then shooting, which gives the goalie a lot of time to recover. So, I don't know, maybe there's not really much you can do with those power play units. I think Marlowe on the second unit could work a little bit better. I don't necessarily love Zach Hyman on the power play either, that second unit. Is it second? Maybe he's on the first unit. I forget.
I think the first unit is Matthews, Nylander, Brown, Gardner, and Marlowe. Second unit is Bozak, JVR, Kadri, Marner,
Riley. Okay, so Hyman's not even out there. Sorry.
Hyman's not usually... Well, it depends. Sometimes they go for a different look, and Hyman will go out there to be the guy in front.
Yeah. But also, Connor Brown, I don't know if I love him on the power play.
I think it's...
I love Connor Brown.
I think it's the forechecking...
it's the puck retrieval.
It's the puck retrieval, but yeah.
On the power play, you don't really... You need puck retrieval guys, but you don't.
You don't need it for what I think his purpose is. Yeah, they don't need him.
Maybe you give Soshnikov a chance in that game. I mean, he's got a ton of speed, and he's got a hell of a shot.
He has a hell. I was just going to mention that. Maybe a guy like Soshnikov. I mean, Levo's been used on the power play.
He was flying last night.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that will give you, he's got that speed. He needs to get some chances on that. Like, I don't know if it's just the guys he's playing with and he's not getting those offensive opportunities, but man.
If you put him and Kasperi Kapanen on a line together, oh my god, they will skate circles around you.
Whoever's their sentiment won't be able to keep up.
Put Patrick Marleau out there. He's faster than both of them.
That is true. I mean, yeah. Cap and I think they're... I think I'm okay with what they're doing because they don't really have a spot for him. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you're not moving Levo. We really know that after they signed that contract. And
yeah, for sure.
They're... And, you know, Soshnikov is in the lineup. So... That...
Yeah, which was surprising to me. I don't know. That was more surprising, is that fair to say? That Soshnikov made it into the lineup than...
Levo?
No, not even Levo, but, like, of all the roster moves that the lineup changes.
Well, they had to because of the whole, his contract and, you know...
Yeah.
He has a chance to move
if he
on.
Doesn't play. I think they said that on the broadcast. If he just sits in the press box, he can still opt out, so he needs to play.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I feel like Mike Babcock isn't huge on Soshnikov. I mean, he's not.
I don't know.
He's proved he's not big on anybody he doesn't want in that lineup.
I think he's grown to trust him a bit more now that he's seen him.
Yeah.
He
obviously has guys that can play in all situations, and Soshnikov can definitely kill penalties.
Yeah. Like, that's where I like Soshnikov, is he can kill penalties. He's got the speed element. And I think once he gets more confidence to take those chances offensively and gets the puck, that's where he – we saw when he made his debut, was it 2 years ago, where I think his first goal was an absolute rocket of a shot. Like, he has
a
shot.
Had a couple really nice wrist shot goals.
So.
The second unit actually played more last night than the first unit on the power play. Not by much, but, like, good 40 seconds more.
Well, somebody mentioned it. I can't remember who it was on Twitter last night. They, you know, to not have Matthews, Nylander, and those guys out, I think it was late in the game on the power play. You kind of question
that's
that?
That's what bothered me, is you score that game-tying goal, you have a real chance to take over the game. I mean... It's not like Matthews and Nylander were out there for that shift. Mm-hmm. The penalty was drawn on. It was Bozak that drew the trip.
Yeah.
So they're rested, or at least they weren't. They hadn't just come off a full shift. Why not go to them? Maybe it's because Kadri had just scored the goal and you ride the hot hand. I don't really know.
Yeah, and then it's. Babcock is a guy that is, I'm not going to say stubborn, but he will let people know that it's him calling the shots and nothing is going to...
He did so the other day.
He did do that, yeah.
But he did, after he made those comments, I mean, he did switch his lines. He gave everybody Marner and
that,
Nealon,
so that's where Parker I was gonna, and Matthews. That's where I was going to go next.
And then I swerved everyone by not having Matt Martin on that line.
Well, okay, so
probably a 6-0 game if Matt Martin plays on the first line, let's be honest.
This is what I was going to bring up. So, yeah, Matt Martin is playing the left flank, I'll call that, with Matthews and Marner. I think part of the reason why is because he really wanted that Marlowe, Hyman, Brown trio to go up against the Barkov line if Kadri's line wasn't going up against him, because, gosh, does Barkov play a lot of minutes for Florida. Like, he plays close to 23 and a half, 24 minutes a night. That's, for four, that's a lot.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
So I was looking at the line, because, you know, Martin did miss some time in the game yesterday, and it looks like the lineup is going to change again, because you have Levo.
Is it Carolina tomorrow, or is it Carolina?
Carolina on Friday, and then Washington on Saturday.
Ugh, it's a rough turnaround. Is it? It's in Toronto, the Washington game?
The Washington game is in Toronto.
Okay, that's a little better.
It's not too bad, but I hope they're looking. No, they need to get some revenge on Carolina after that. You know, that last game.
Is it really revenge when one team doesn't show up? I mean,
that is true.
That loss is completely on the Leafs. They didn't show up. They had the shorthanded 2-on-1 was the Devils. But regardless, they laid an egg against Carolina. So
Yes, they
I mean,
did.
they need to come out and prove themselves. They need to come out and prove in general that they can show up against teams that they obviously are underestimating.
Yep.
Because now you've lost to New Jersey, you've lost to Arizona, you've lost to Carolina. I mean, they're not team. They're all teams that are supposed to be lottery teams, or at very least just missing the playoffs.
But those are teams that, on paper, the Leafs are more talented than and should be getting those points against.
Yep.
If
as they say, the paper does not play the game. So.
No. But again, like last season, these points become valuable if you're in. Again, the last week of the season, you need to make the playoffs, and like they were last year, and they needed that last weekend to make it in. This team has to learn how to capitalize on those. I don't know if it's they take those teams too lightly, or the way that those teams play against the Leafs is different. They call it, like, they keep calling them trap games, and I've heard this like six times this season. It's not a trap game anymore. They just know how to play the Leafs, which is clog up the neutral zone. Make it hard for them to get their speed going, and you're going to give the Leafs a really hard time.
The Leafs have gotten into a really bad habit the last maybe 2 weeks of, and I think it was maybe the Vegas game that they pointed this out, that the Leafs just started throwing stretch passes up the middle of the ice, and teams are just clogging the neutral zone, like you said.
Frederik Andersen was guilty of doing that last night, where he absolutely just threw one up the middle. Like a Hail Mary pass.
He had a really nice pass, though. I forget, it might have been to Bozak. Like right out of his crease, just threw one up the middle and got Bozak on the...
Yep, that's the one I was referring to. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to call it more lazy to do that because, yes, I've only known one player in the league right now that can... absolutely rocket those passes perfectly, and that's Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
None of the defensemen on the Leafs are Erik Karlsson. They cannot do those stretch passes. I think it's lazy, and I think it needs to stop, frankly, because how many times have they turned over, or is the forward not in the right position to receive the pass? The whole point of trying, and I can't remember who it was that mentioned this, but the best way to defeat the trap, they were saying, yes, sometimes it is the long pass, but it's also maybe just shortening up your game and using your speed to try to create some mismatches, especially on the outside.
Yep. So the best way to beat the trap is to short passes and just find a seam. I mean, if they're clogging up the neutral zone, maybe the best option is to dump it in, get some bodies, but yeah, I mean, you can't keep going back to these stretch passes from like the face-off circles to the red line.
No.
And expecting your teams are not stupid. They're going to pick up on that very quickly. And I mean, it's not the main root of why the Leafs have lost a couple games, but teams like the Coyotes, they did it. They just were able to They played a very boring game, and that's what you got to do against the Leafs. You've got to play defensive and just counter their mistakes.
Yep.
Because their defense, I mean, maybe you catch Jake Gardner on one of those games where he's trying to be a hero, and Ron Hainsey's not the best at clearing the zone. Nikita Zaitsev has some bad games, so you never know with them. If you're able to just sit back and defend your own zone, maybe you get lucky. And that's what's happened the last couple games. I mean, the goal in the Florida game is just awful. Florida did not deserve that goal.
Nope.
I said it on social media last night. That's the kind of goal that's going to break the score when two goalies are playing so well. It's Andersen and Luongo were.
Yep. But then credit the Leafs. I mean, Connor Brown was, again.
Oh, fantastic.
You put it.
Connor Brown's been one of the Leafs' best forwards this season.
I would say best. I would say most consistent.
One of them, not the best.
Yeah, I would say he's been the most consistent Leaf this year.
Yeah, he brings it every game, which he does.
And at $2.5 million, I would wish I could clone a bunch of Connor Browns at this point because, you know, he doesn't always score. That's not his role. His role is to make plays, just make guys around him better. And it's hard to find a guy like that to do it as consistently as he's done it. Maybe guys in the Marlies should take note of how they can possibly get into Babcock's good graces. Because you want to talk about a guy that I think has earned Babcock's praise the most. I think Brown is one because, you know, the guy's been commented so much on being on, has been talked about so much about being on the fourth line, yet Babcock will go to bed to him and say, yeah, he's on the fourth line, but he knows he doesn't, he shouldn't be there. And yet he still works hard and he still does it because he knows that his role is just to make the team better, not worry about where he plays in the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. He knows his role, which is good. He doesn't try and go out and do too much. I said I don't love him on the power play, but he's not hurting the Leafs on the power play.
No. But I think your point was just they need to get guys who are...
When your power play is stifled, you need to just put as much skill as possible out there. Exactly. And, Soshnikov is probably a better offensive option than Connor Brown.
He has more of the offensive tools you would need on the power
play. Yeah, he's more offensive-minded as Connor Brown's more of a two-way forward.
Yeah.
But he's definitely not... He's not hindering their ability to score. He doesn't really touch the puck on the power play much. He's the guy that gets the puck back for them so their playmakers can do stuff.
Exactly. Now, I think the last four games have been kind of telling of the improvements the Leafs have made defensively. I think a large part of it is, you know, the way that Riley and Hainsey have continued to be consistent.
Yeah, they have been so good together.
Yeah.
It's, I think, the main thing, I'm trying to remember who brought this up because I was listening to Sportsnet 590 the other day. And they mentioned that, it was Luke Fox. Luke Fox said that, the main difference is that now Hainsey's playing the offside as a lefty. So he's playing on the right side of the ice. And that's allowed Riley to go back to the left side as a lefty, which he's more comfortable playing.
Yeah.
I hadn't noticed it, honestly, because it was hard to pay attention to Riley when he was playing with. I mean, obviously Riley played his right side last year because he was with Zaitsev a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That was going to be my counter to that argument is that he played with Connor Carrick and Nikita Zaitsev, who are both right-handed shots.
Yeah,
I think it's just Hainsey is.
He's a stable presence. That's what I believe, but that was an argument brought up.
He's a smarter defensive player. Zaitsev is good too, but Zaitsev is, I call him the glorified babysitter because he has to be that defensive presence with Gardner. But yeah, this is where you kind of wonder, where exactly can the Leafs improve defensively? The only place I can see it is that third pairing with Borgman and Carrick. I'm not sold on it. There's been times where they've been guilty of, again, Carrick has taken some penalties that when you just go like, ugh. Borgman's done it too. If they can find Borgman a more solid partner or better option there, that would be helpful. At this point, you look at with this Leafs team, I guess the best thing you can do is just be patient.
Yeah, I mean, Andreas Borgman is, I guess he's the, I don't know, it's kind of hard to say, because usually what you're seeing with the Leafs is sort of you're matching offensive presence with defensive presence, but Nikita Zaitsev's sort of a two-way defenseman, so it doesn't really stand that way. But I mean, Connor Carrick, he's an undersized defenseman. He does what he can, and obviously he's out there and he agitates people. But maybe, I don't know if you find a guy like Hainsey, but I feel like a better veteran presence would really help Borgman in this situation.
I think so, too.
Because Connor Carrick is not a veteran presence. In the same, sort of the same way, but less to the degree, he's sort of still finding his way in the NHL, because obviously he's bounced around.
Yeah.
Between press box, AHL, NHL for his entire career. Like just this, being with Washington and also being with the rebuilding Toronto squad for the last couple of years. I mean,
this is really his first full, I would say, season where he's no, like undisputedly on the third pairing. Like no one.
He is an NHL defenseman this season. There's no going down.
Last season it was I think 3/4 of the way, and then he kind of lost that spot at the end there.
Was it Marinchin that took his spot?
Yeah. So there was. Yikes. I'm just trying to think. Polak was there. Hunwick was there. Then you had Gardner and
Zaitsev, Riley, Marinchin.
Yeah,
basically for the backstretch.
Yeah, that was pretty much how it laid out. I think
because Marinchin did play in the last couple games because I remember him being in the Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Game.
So this is where you kind of maybe you just have to be patient with a guy like Connor Carrick and a guy like Andreas Borgo. I know they may not be the best fit. I wouldn't say fit, but they're not. People want more for them, but how much more are you going to want from a 21-year-old? And I think Carrick is 24, 25. How much more do you want from those guys? Like they're still learning, and they're learning together as younger defensemen, which I don't think is what Babcock wants. I think he's kind of had the shield and be careful of their matchups, but it's a lot better. I'll say it's a lot better than what other teams are going through right now. I mean,
oh yeah, the Leafs definitely are not the worst defensive team in the league.
No,
I could search through teams and find terrible defensive cores.
I also wanted to bring up, I know we talked about the whole Leafs and the whole how their issues with the penalties. Surprisingly, they're only 15th in the league, 14th in the league in penalty kill percentage, and they that is interesting. And when you look at, and I looked at how many penalty minutes a game they take, they're ranked 22nd, which I find very surprising. Maybe it's just because when they take those penalties, they only have like 5 players that kill those penalties, and that's where I think it's like you're wearing them down. But you look at a team like Nashville takes 15 penalty minutes a game on average. Pittsburgh 12, Anaheim 12, Edmonton 12, Washington is at 11. Like,
yep.
I guess it's safe to say maybe I overblew it the whole penalty situation, but again, I just think that the Leafs could be in a worse situation than they were at the beginning of the season, where people were like, this team doesn't know how to defend. And I think a part of it is that this team has improved because Frederik Andersen has been lights out this month.
Mm-hmm.
Minus the, I'm just trying to think of a game where in November where he wasn't really at his best. If I go back, I mean, you look at the whole, LA, that was obviously that was Curtis McElhinney, but I say the St. Louis game could have been better. But other than that, I mean, it started in Anaheim, and then, the St. Louis game, he could have been better. Vegas, he was good enough to get them the win. Minnesota, again, he got them the win. Then against the Boston Bruins, he was pretty good. And then the Devils was, I think, one of his better games of the season. Because
he and Schneider had a great one-on-one matchup there.
Yeah, this is where I'm kind of getting more impressed with Andersen, because he's going up against guys like, Schneider, now Luongo. And
even Luongo, it's like most people don't give Luongo enough credit
because he
is getting up there in age. Like Luongo's still a very, very good goalie in the NHL.
He's, and I think the record is a little bit deceiving because Florida is not as good of a team this year. I think they're going through, they're getting a new coach. Their offense isn't really there. And defensively, they lost some guys. They lost some guys on both ends. Like, they lost Marchessault and they lost Riley Smith in the expansion. And then you lose, I'm trying to think on defense. You got rid of Jason Demers, who, he's not a dynamic player, but he was, he was supposed to be a good part of their D-Core. And I think Ekblad, you know, they're lucky that, you know, Ekblad is still producing at a good, I know, at a high level. I mean, he's a type of defenseman that any team would want, and just not. I mean, I long has been dealing with some injuries, but I think he's still on par with being top 10 goalie in the league. If I mean, there's a lot of good goalies in the league, but you put him on a team that can score
when he's
a
on
more,
his game, yeah.
I think you put him with a team that can score a little bit more, and I think he's. I mean, I know he's 38, and people are like, you know, he's getting old, and he's not washed up. The Leafs could not solve him for the good part of the game. Like
No, he looked great.
He knew the Leafs' book was, you know, try to stop their chances in tight. He kind of was a little bit further back in his net because the Leafs really like to get those chances in close, and he got guilty of it a couple of times where they. Hit a couple of posts, crossbars, but I mean he's
working with a team that with the Panthers that I mean their first couple lines look good and then there's really a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
Their forward lines are okay.
I don't know how the Leafs didn't expose the lack of depth on Florida like they did against Montreal.
I mean they spread their lines out nicely.
Yep.
Jared McCann's an underrated player. I mean, he's not the greatest player ever, but he on the third line of the Panthers, he's definitely good. Jamie McGinn plays a really good role in that team, I think. But, I mean, their defensive depth, I don't know. Keith Yandle and Aaron Ekblad are their first pairing.
Yeah.
And then after that, their second pairing is Matheson and Mark Pisick.
Which is not a, I mean, it's not a sexy pairing, but it's
serviceable.
It works. Yeah, it's what they want.
Matheson's a good defenseman, I would say.
Yeah,
he's represented Canada at the World Championships. He's not a bum.
Nope.
But then their third pair is Mackenzie Weegar and Ian McCoshin, who.
Yeah.
Could you tell me anything about either of those two? I know McCoshin has been in the AHL for a really long time.
Yeah, and their AHL team is not exactly top
not
in the
great.
League.
Not ideal.
So
he was playing. I mean, he's playing with a team that their first couple lines are great. Let's be honest here. Trocheck's amazing, all star. Barkov is a superstar. Huberdeau is a very, very good player
when he's healthy.
Then you have Henrik Hapala. Excuse me if I butchered his name there. Hapala, who led SM Liga in scoring in Finland last year. So, I mean, he's definitely good at hockey. And Evgeny Dadonov, who has been looking to come over from the KHL for a while. So they're not a bad team in their top six. It's just depth-wise, they're not great.
No. Yeah, I think what the Leafs have been trying to do is use their forward depth and try to expose matchups. It worked against Montreal. It didn't really work against Arizona, although there's still debate about the no goal call with Matthews. And again with Florida, I think my issue is how much does Marlow really like playing? I know he's going to do whatever the team wants him to do because A, he's getting paid a lot of money, and you know, if Babcock tells you he needs you to do something, you're going to do it, but how much longer is he going to want to play center?
I don't really want him playing center at all. I know he can do it, but
I don't either.
I mean, it's just a matter of wear and tear on him, and he's been very good this far.
He's taken some physical, not I'd say abuse, but he's because he's playing center and teams are trying to wear him down more because he's been asked to play more of those defensive matchups. This is why I think
we talked about it last podcast. I mean, center is such a physically demanding position. Probably other than goalie is probably one of the most physically demanding on the ice. Definitely a step up from winger because playing as a winger, you don't have as much defensive responsibility.
No.
And obviously the talent on center, if you're Patrick Marleau, you're going up against, I don't know who he matched up with last night.
I don't remember who he matched up with, but.
I mean, as I said, the Florida Panthers, they're not the best team depth-wise, but their center depth is pretty good. I mean, you're playing against one of either Barkov, Trocheck, or Jared McCann last night.
That's not, I mean, it's not like if you look at the Penguins or if you look at, teams
It's
like
not the
that.
scariest in the league, but it's
It's a hard
they're gonna
working
make you
crew.
work.
They're gonna make you work. That's definitely true. So what's the solution? I mean, it's surprising that Dominic Moore has been scratched. Again, I'm not saying I'm the biggest Dominic Moore fan, but it just means that you've got a problem down the middle again. You thought you had the I thought they had the depth when they were, constantly flip-flopping between Moore and Eric Fehr to start the season. You're just like, wow, this team is deep down the middle. I mean, deep in the sense that they have four lines you can roll and be comfortable with your centers. Now, they can't rely on Dominic Moore for some reason. And they can't. I mean, Tyler Bozak hasn't been terrible, but again, he's not being trusted with matchups because Babcock, I don't think, trusts those defensive matchups. So, what's the solution? I don't know. I think that's the area where if a team is looking to sell off a player, you can try to trade for a centerman, but they come at a high cost.
I think the issue, and it's not the greatest thing in the world for the Leafs, but Tyler Bozak has not been great this year. The biggest thing for him has been the faceoff violations. That has really been a problem, and I mentioned the preseason game we went to. The scrum after that game, he said he thought he had been kicked out of more draws than he actually took, which has been the norm this season. He's been kicked out of a lot of draws. Because as Leafs broadcasters have so fondly mentioned in the past, that he is so good at cheating on draws.
Yeah, you
And
don't
you
want to
have to
be
be good at
known.
cheating if you're a center in the league and you want to have a high efficiency at faceoffs. But
No, it's
he
not
just
gonna work.
hasn't gotten to it yet, and the defensive play hasn't been there either. So I mean, he and Van Riemsdyk have been ripped all season for not being great defensively. So maybe that's where you look, you shore up his spot. And then he becomes the fourth line center, maybe. I don't know what you really do at this point. 'Cause there's no help coming from the AHL that'll
I mean,
replace maybe Gauthier, but
Gauthier would, I think, replace Moore because I
yeah,
don't see
for sure.
Gauthier being able to play the third line.
I'd like him up here, honestly. I think it's time for Freddie to get a shot.
Or him, you know who's impressed me, and he had a really nice goal last night was Altonen. I
Yeah,
wasn't
Merrill
so
Olsen's
I
been good.
wasn't sold on Altonen to be the center, the fourth line center. People were really, not thrilled that he was sent down, but hey,
Yeah.
if he continues to play like he has with the Marlies, his number
He,
could be
he's had a tough
12.
time producing, but I mean, he's been playing well.
He has. I think it's helped that the Marlies are, again, deep. They're playing well. They got good goaltending. Their defense has been playing well. So maybe it's just a sense of you let those guys do what they got to do. Keep playing with that confidence, and I still think maybe it's you. Look, it's. They're looking for a third line center. They're not looking for a first or second line center. Maybe that third line center isn't as tough to find. You mean, but yeah, I just something needs to change in terms of the down the middle because I don't think Marlowe can continue to do it and be effective. I've noticed like when he's playing center, unless guys like Hyman and Brown can continue to take the physical, take the physical element away from him so he doesn't have to be the guy going down low to retrieve. Maybe that works out, but you gotta wonder, maybe I know he has never, I don't know if he's ever played center in his life, but a guy like Hyman would be more ideal because of his defensive awareness. A guy like this is where I think you want to, if you want to be a player on the Leafs, if you're a prospect right now and want to make it onto the Leafs, maybe you got to learn how to play center because you're not making it as a winger.
You're not making it as a winger at this point.
No, and that's where I think, maybe they have to try some guys at center in the Marlies, like they did with Nylander at one point, where, I mean, they've kind of cooled down that whole will Nylander play center. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, unless I don't think that's in the cards ever.
But yeah, that's where I think that's the area where I think the Leafs need to focus on is the center. I think their defense has been able to hold up well as long as Frederik Andersen's been playing well. I think the center is a place where I think you have to seriously consider something because, again, I like Marlowe, but he's a winger. He's more effective as a winger, and I think you're putting too much on him to play center. And Babcock does not want him playing center. You can tell with.
It's just an area of need, honestly. And now that Matthews is back, I mean, you can put Marlowe back on the wing.
Yeah, I think
you gotta let Matthews, Bozak, and Kadri just work it out.
Yep. And you gotta, and I think a guy like, some guys that are struggling to produce offensively, like Nylander has, and like, Nylander's. I think that guy's that overtime goal gave him some confidence back, but I think he's still got to work on it.
Yeah, for sure.
There's guys that are not producing at what you expect them to be producing. I mean, Komarov, he's a guy that he's making it really hard to get that contract back next season, like to come back for the Leafs next season, because
he
hasn't been as noticeable in the areas you want him to be noticeable.
He is not a guy I would like to lose because I really like Leo, but there are better options for cheaper prices. So let's call it for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to end the podcast on this note, but I think it's a good thing we can talk about if it continues to be an issue or something that needs to be addressed. But I want to thank you guys for listening to the Tip of the Tower podcast. If you're listening down in the States, we want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. This should be up. I'm going to have this up later today, so you'll get that message. Again, you're always welcome to join the conversation and comment and talk, chat with us on Twitter and Facebook. We like when people leave comments once in a while. Well,
love reading comments.
Yeah. Love. You know, I don't mind reading comments. You know, they always say the number one thing as a journalist is you shouldn't be reading comments. But once in a while, I don't mind just seeing what people have to say because they're the ones who you're trying. That it's your audience. You want to.
Unless they're mean, then I cry.
Yeah. So please make sure you're checking us out on Tip of the Tower's Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter at Tip of the Tower. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on Blog Talk Radio. And you can follow Austin _ Austin Owens. And you can follow myself D_Morsuti, 2 S's, 2 T's. I mean, you're going to find it if you go on our Tip of the Tower Twitter page anyways. Thank you guys, and enjoy the next couple of Leaf games. They should be fun.